Now we're going to look at some truly non-trivial convergence tests, some of which you've seen before in your calculus class and some of which will be new to you. And we'll start with the root test, which is contained in most third semester calculus courses. Consider the series summation aj and let r equal the lim sup as j goes to infinity of mod aj to the 1 over j. If this limit r is less than 1, then the series summation aj converges. If the limit r is bigger than 1, then the series summation aj diverges. And it's not formally stated here, but I'll just say, because we're friends, that if r equals 1, then there's no conclusion possible. It could converge or it could diverge. The proof, basically, as you will see, says that if the series passes the root test, then the series is comparable to a geometric series. So by our hypothesis for beta equals r plus 1 over 2, which will still be less than 1 because it's the average of r and 1, there is an integer capital N bigger than 1, so that for all j bigger than capital N, it holds that mod aj to the 1 over j is less than beta. And that just says that mod aj is less than beta to the j. And since 0 is less than beta less than 1, this geometric series summation beta to the j converges, and by the comparison test, since aj is less than beta to the j, summation aj converges. So that's that. When r is bigger than 1, it can be seen that there are infinitely many positive integers j, so that mod aj to the 1 over j is bigger than 1 plus r over 2 equals beta bigger than 1. That is, in other words, mod aj is bigger than beta to the j. Therefore, and since beta is bigger than 1, the beta to the j's are blowing up, and therefore the aj's are blowing up, and so the series summation aj must diverge. So we'll just repeat here, the root test is inconclusive if r equals 1. You could look at the example summation 1 over n and summation 1 over n squared. Both have limit r equal 1, but the first one diverges and the second one converges. So, an example, determine whether the series summation n equals 1 to infinity n squared over 2 to the n converges. The intuition here is that n squared is a polynomial, but 2 to the n is an exponential, and exponentials grow much faster than polynomials. And so this should be a series whose terms are going to 0 quite rapidly and it ought to converge. But let's just see analytically why this is true. Let a n be n squared over 2 to the n, then a n to the 1 over n is n to the 1 over n squared divided by 2. And as n goes to infinity, you remember that n to the 1 over n tends to 1, so the limit here is just 1 half, which is less than 1. So by the root test, the series converges. It's worth noting here that the root test is not so easy to apply when complicated factors such as n factorial are involved, because n factorial to the 1 over n is difficult to evaluate, although you might want to look on Google, look up Stirling's formula, which is the asymptotic formula for n factorial that would help you in that circumstance. But what's going to happen here in this book is a little later on we're going to learn something called the ratio test. And the ratio test is easy to apply to the series summation 5 to the n over n factorial, while the root test is not so easy to apply. And in fact, here's the ratio test right here. Consider a series summation at j equals 1 to infinity a sub j. If lim sup modulus aj plus 1 over aj is less than 1, then the series summation aj converges. So, straightforward to state, let lambda equal the lim sup of mod aj plus 1 over aj, and by hypothesis that's less than 1. Select a real number mu so that lambda is less than mu less than 1. By the definition of lim sup, there is a capital N so large so that if j is bigger than capital N, then modulus aj plus 1 over aj is less than mu. This may be rewritten as modulus aj plus 1 is less than mu times modulus aj for all j bigger than or equal to n. Thus, much as in the proof of the root test, we have for k bigger than or equal to 0 that a sub capital N plus k is less than or equal to mu times a sub capital N plus k minus 1, and then we'll apply this inequality again to get less than or equal to mu times a sub capital N plus k minus 2, less than or equal to dot, 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 less than or equal to mu to the k, modulus a sub capital N. It is convenient to denote capital N plus k by little n, and obviously then little n is bigger than or equal to capital N, and the last inequality can be rewritten then as modulus a sub little n is less than or equal to mu to the little n minus capital N times a sub modulus a sub capital N, taking little nth roots, modulus a sub little n to the 1 over n is less than mu to the exponent little n minus capital N over little n times modulus a capital N to the 1 over n. Now, remembering the capital N has been fixed, but we can let little n go to infinity, we see now that the lim sup as little n goes to infinity of modulus a sub little n to the 1 over n is less than or equal to mu, because a sub capital N to the 1 over n, of course, is going to tend to 1, and the mu term just tends to mu. And since mu is less than 1, we find our series satisfies the hypotheses of the root test, hence it converges. So it's interesting here what's going on. We proved the ratio test by showing that a series that satisfies the hypothesis of the ratio test actually satisfies the hypothesis of the root test, which we've already proved. So you might wonder why we need the ratio test, because the root test seems to be more powerful. Well, the answer is, as we've already noted, there are some series where it's kind of hard to apply the root test, but pretty easy to apply the ratio test. So it's handy to have both tests at hand. Now, it's worth noting that assuming that the lim sup as j goes to infinity of modulus ha plus 1 over aj is bigger than 1, that does not imply that summation aj diverges. And there's a simple example here. Summation j equal 1 to infinity, 1 divided by 3 plus minus 1 to the j, all to the jth power. However, there is a ratio test for divergence, and it says this. If lim inf as j goes to infinity of modulus aj plus 1 over aj is bigger than 1, then the series summation aj converges. So for the convergence ratio test, we use the lim sup of the ratio. For the divergence ratio test, we use the lim inf of the ratio. So as an example, the series summation j factorial over 5 to the j, summation of that j factorial over 5 to the j diverges because the limit as j goes to infinity of aj plus 1 over aj is plainly easily seen to be infinity, which is bigger than 1. Let's look at the series summation j equals 1 to infinity 2 to the j over j factorial. We will apply the ratio test because the root test would be difficult to apply to j factorial. So aj is 2 to the j over j factorial. Modulus of the ratio of aj plus 1 over aj is 2 to the j plus 1 over j plus 1 factorial divided by 2 to the j over j factorial, which simplifies to 2 divided by j plus 1. The lim sup of this expression is 0, so by the ratio test, the series converges. For the next example, let's look at summation n factorial over n to the n. So we'll let a sub n be n factorial over n to the n. Then the modulus of a n plus 1 over a n is 1 n plus 1 factorial divided by n plus 1 to the n plus 1 divided by n factorial divided by n to the n. And this simplifies, the n factorial divides into the n plus 1 factorial to give n plus 1. And therefore, you see that the expression simplifies to n to the n divided by n plus 1 to the n, which, using a little algebra, simplifies to 1 divided by 1 plus 1 over n to the nth. But we know from our earlier study of sequences that 1 plus 1 over n to the nth tends to e. So this entire expression tends to 1 over e, and e is 2.71828, so 1 over e is less than 1. So by the ratio test, the series converges. And now we'll talk a bit about the integral test. Let f be a continuous and decreasing function on 0 infinity. The series summation fj converges if and only if the integral from 1 to infinity fx converges. The improper integral 1 to infinity fx dx is the area below the curve y equal fx over the interval 1 to infinity. And putting little boxes below that graph that extend to the right from j equal 2 and j equal 3 and so on, we can see immediately that summation, that the integral from 1 to infinity of fx dx is bigger than or equal to summation j to equals 2 to infinity f of j. And similar reasoning with larger boxes that go to the left shows that summation j equal 1 to infinity f j is bigger than or equal to the integral from 1 to infinity of f of x dx. And that proves that the integral converges if and only if the series converges. So let p be bigger than 1, show that the series summation j equal 1 to infinity 2 over j log j to the p converges. So notice that 1 over x log x to the p is continuous and decreasing on the interval 2 infinity, and the integral from 2 to infinity of 1 over x times log x to the p dx is the limit. It's capital, if you remember your improper integrals, this is the limit as capital N goes to infinity of the integral from 2 to n of 1 over x log x to the p. And that anti-differentiates to log x to the 1 minus p over 1 minus p, evaluated at n and 2, and go ahead and plug in n and 2 and let n go to infinity, and you see that you get log 2 to the 1 minus p over p minus 1. And that's a finite answer, so the integral converges, and therefore the series converges. Now we're going to consider convergence tests for series which depend on cancellation among the terms. So some of the terms will be positive, and some of them will be negative. And we're going to start with a technique called summation by parts. Now you may wonder whether summation by parts is at all related to the integration by parts process that you learned in calculus. It has a similar form, and indeed it turns out that summing a series and performing an integration are two aspects of the same limiting process. So in fact, summation by parts is like a poor man's version of integration by parts. So here's the formula. Let aj and bj be two sequences of real or complex numbers. For capital N equals 0, 1, 2, 3, and so on, let a sub capital N be the summation from j equals 0 to capital N of aj, so it's a partial sum, and we adopt the convention that a sub minus 1 is 0. Then for any 0 less than or equal to little m less than or equal to little n less than infinity, it holds that summation aj bj equals capital A n little b n minus capital A m minus 1 little b m plus summation j equal m to n minus 1 capital A j times b j minus b j plus 1. It's worth staring at this formula for a moment to see that it resembles integration by parts, because we are in effect anti-differentiating the little a j's to get the capital A j's in the sum on the right. And we are, in effect, differentiating the little bj's to get the difference bj minus bj plus 1 on the right. And the term capital An little bn minus capital Am minus 1 little bm is analogous to the boundary term in integration by parts. So let's see why this is true. It's just a simple combinatorial argument. We have summation j equal m to n aj bj equals summation j equal m to n capital AJ minus capital AJ minus 1 times BJ, because capital AJ minus capital AJ minus 1 is nothing other than little AJ. And we can break this up into two series, summation J equal M to N capital AJ little BJ minus summation J equal M to capital AJ minus 1 little BJ. And we'll change the index of summation in the second sum, so we have now summation j equal m to n capital A j little b j minus summation j equal m minus 1 to n minus 1 capital A j b j plus 1. And now we can put the series together because you have an a j at each of the series. So we have to juggle the indices a little bit, but we get summation j equal little m to n minus 1 capital A j times b j minus b j plus 1 plus the leftover term capital A n little b n minus the leftover term capital A m minus 1 little b m. And that's the integration by or the summation by parts formula that we wanted to prove. And now we will apply summation by parts to get a remarkable a convergence test due to Niels Henrik Abel. Abel, as you can see, died at the age of 27 from illness. But he had a remarkable, if brief, career. He did a lot of very important mathematics. And his statue now stands in the courtyard of the king of Norway. And he is shown stamping out the serpents of ignorance. So here's Abel's convergence test. Consider a series summation j equals 0 to infinity, aj, bj. The partial sums, so we assume three things. First of all, that the partial sums capital An, which is summation 0 to, 0 to n, little aj, form a bounded sequence. Secondly, that b naught greater than or equal to b1, greater than or equal to b2, and so on. And finally, that the limit as j goes to infinity of bj is 0. Then the original series summation aj, bj converges. So it turns out that when you have a series that is partially positive and partially negative, then many times it's possible to verify property one, that the ans, the partial sums of the little aj's, form a bounded sequence. We'll see examples of this below. So suppose that the partial sums capital An are bounded in absolute value by a number k. Pick epsilon bigger than 0 and choose an integer capital N so large that b sub capital N is less than epsilon over 2k. For capital N less than little m less than or equal to little n, we use the partial summation formula to write summation j equal m to n, aj, bj, all in absolute value, equals absolute value capital An little bn minus capital An minus 1 little bm, plus summation little m up to n minus 1 of capital AJ BJ minus BJ plus 1. So that's just copying the summation by parts formula. The first term now in absolute value is less than or equal to capital K, because AN is in absolute value smaller than capital K, times modulus BN. The second term, for similar reasoning, AM minus 1 in absolute value is less than or equal to capital K, and then we have absolute BM. And for the third term, we majorize each of the capital AJs by capital K, and we put modulus signs around BJ minus BJ plus 1. Now we take advantage of the fact that BJ bigger than or equal to 0 for all J, and that BJ bigger than or equal to BJ plus 1 for all J, to rewrite the last line as K times BN, that's erasing those modulus signs, plus K times BM, that's erasing those modulus signs, plus K times summation J equal M to N minus 1, BJ minus BJ plus 1, and that's erasing those modulus signs. And the sum telescopes or collapses, and the last line turns out to be K times BN plus BM plus minus BN plus BM, and the BNs cancel, we end up with 2K B sub little M. And by our choice of capital N, if you look back, 2k times bm is smaller than epsilon. Thus, our series satisfies the Cauchy criterion, and therefore it converges. So here's a simple example. As a first application of Abel's convergence test, we examine alternating series. Consider a series of the form summation j equal 1 to infinity, minus 1 to the j times bj, with b1 bigger or equal to b2, bigger or equal to b3, and so on, and bj tends to 0. We set aj equal minus 1 to the j and apply Abel's test. We see immediately that all the partial sums capital An, which are partial sums of the minus 1 to the j's, are either minus 1 or 0. So this sequence of partial sums is certainly bounded. And the bj's are decreasing and tend to 0, and so by Abel's test, the alternating series converges. Very simple. Proposition, let b1 bigger than or equal to b2, and so on, assume the bj tend to 0, and consider the alternating series summation minus 1 to the j, bj, as in the last example. It is convergent, we know that, let s be its sum, then the partial sums sn satisfy absolute value, capital S, the sum, minus the partial sum sn, less than or equal to bn plus 1. So that's useful information, and it's easy to prove. Observe that absolute value S minus Sn equals absolute value Bn plus 1 minus Bn plus 2 plus Bn plus 3 minus plus and so on. But Bn plus 2 minus Bn plus 3 plus minus and so on is less than or equal to Bn plus 2 plus minus Bn plus 3 plus Bn plus 3 plus minus Bn plus 5 plus Bn plus 5. Which is just Bn plus 2, and Bn plus 2 minus Bn plus 3 plus minus and so on is bigger than or equal to Bn plus 2 minus Bn plus 2 plus Bn plus 4 minus Bn plus 4 and so on, which is 0. And it follows, therefore, putting these two inequalities together, that S minus Sn is less than or equal to B modulus of Bn plus 1, and that's the claim. So here's a concluding example. Consider the alternating series summation j equal 1 to infinity minus 1 to the j 1 over j. Then the partial sum S100, which is minus 0.688172, is within 0.01, in fact, within 1 over 101 of the full sum S, and the partial sum S10,000, which is minus 0.693051, is within 0.0001, in fact, within 1 over 10001 of the sum S. So that concludes our discussion of many of the basic convergence tests, and I will see you next time.